Thank you for joining me on another edition of Gospel Life, where the goal each week is to encourage, instruct, and persuade us all to keep the main thing of the gospel, the main thing in our lives. My name is Mark Fodale, and I want to thank you for the privilege of walking alongside you, well, figuratively at least, week in and week out. Now, a few weeks ago, we spent some time establishing a foundation for a life of gospel-fueled obedience and grace-induced holiness. And that foundation was summarized by this phrase: because of Jesus, I don't have to, but praise God, I get to. Yeah, yep, believe it or not, you and I, we get to obey. Imagine that. Because of the complete forgiveness we now have that was won for us by Jesus Christ, by virtue of His work on our behalf, you and I, we no longer need to be undone by the threatenings of the law. That's right. We need no longer submit to the bonds of slavish service. Rather, compelled by gratitude and affection, we can eagerly embrace what the law says as a means to live for the one who loved us and gave His only begotten Son for us. Now, let's be clear. This I get to motivation as the driving force of real, deep gospel change in our lives will lead us into unexpected places, and it'll transform us in unanticipated ways. You see, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, the gospel really does bid us to fly, and then, well, then it gives us wings. Now, today I want to help us fly into a familiar dilemma and then propose a keeping the main thing of the gospel, the main thing solution. And that dilemma is captured by the surprising, maybe even counterintuitive title to this podcast episode, Finding Your Life by Losing Yourself. You might think, wait a minute, I find my life by losing it? Ha, that sounds crazy. You know, as I used to say in my day, what you been smoking, Fodale? But listen, here's the deal. Once grasped by faith and embraced with joy and driven by faith-filled trust, these gospel wings, well, they can become a means to fly into the seemingly absurd, at least in the eyes of the world, so that we can see and gain the beauty and character and power of Jesus Christ Himself. And wouldn't we all admit it? That's a great deal. So today, let's approach the gospel runway. And let me begin by narrowing in on what exactly it is we're talking about. And here it is. How can we press into hard seasons and difficult days in the hope and the power of the gospel? In other words, how can we find our lives? We feel like our lives are, well, slip-sliding away. So, let me ask you, do you ever feel empty and just wish that someone would come and fill you? Do you ever think that your struggle with loneliness would be solved if someone else would just reach out to you? Have you ever concluded that in a moment or even a season of feeling bereft and beleaguered, it would be well with you if someone would just come alongside you and listen to you? That you are sadly but firmly ensconced in a season of receiving and not giving? Okay, now let me switch the focus of those questions up just a bit. And so for those of you who interact with and or invest in those with real struggles and besetting heartaches, do you ever think that the best way you can minister to them is to focus on them? That is, that their sadness and struggle is best met by engaging with them eagerly and empathetically with a listening ear and a friendly face. That the best way to help them is to allow them to disengage from ministry to others. You know, to hold off on giving to others because, well, this is a season of receiving from others. Are you ever reluctant, even hesitant, to give them something to do or even a way to serve for fear of adding to their already burdened spirit and saddened mood? Well, if you answered yes to any of the questions I just asked, let me tell you, you're in good company. That is, if you consider me good company. I have felt all of those things as I reflect on my patterns and hard times, and I have reacted that way as I have come alongside others in their seasons of struggle. But for a few minutes today, as we explore gospel life, could I gently suggest an alternative plan? Could I propose another approach to our temptation to withdraw and become a getter rather than a giver? Or the temptation to counsel others to do the same? There are three scriptures I'd love for us to consider. The first is Proverbs 11:25. Listen to these ancient words of wisdom. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Wait. Let me read that again, because what this proverb says, well, it's big. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. There it is. As we bring a blessing, we'll be blessed. As we water others, we'll be watered in return. See, the key to getting is to first give. The key to being blessed is to first be a blessing. No waiting around for encouragement deliveries here. This proverb calls us to take the first step. Now, the second scripture is from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 35, where Jesus announced this to the crowds. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. There it is again. The key to saving your life is to first lose it. The front door to gaining my life is to first deny myself for the sake of Christ. And by the way, this teaching of Jesus falls squarely in line with his example. Remember what he said and lived out? I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Now, the last scripture is found in Acts 20, verse 35, where the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus, "In all things I've shown you that by working hard we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." There it is. Once again, the main theme and the empowering principle of gospel life emerges. Greater blessing comes to those who position themselves as givers more than receivers. That's right, the dynamic of gospel life in the kingdom of Christ is to be a blessing to others and to trust that God will bless us in his way and at his time. Now, we got to be honest. This is true, but it's especially difficult in seasons where you and I or others in our life may feel that we have nothing left to give. You know, that we're done, we're finished, depleted, running on empty. Just tap in the reserves. And so the question we often feel and face is this: how can we give when we feel like we got nothing left? How can we water others when we feel like our well has run dry? Let me tell you, those are great questions. Those are valid concerns. Those are understandable hesitations. So let's press in on them. And here's a thought for you to consider, and just so you know, I say this with much empathy as one who has gone through hard seasons. The thought or the principle is this: as a Christian, you and I always have more to give than we might think or feel. Let me just say that again. As a Christian, you and I always have more to give than we might think or feel. Now, I say this not based on my knowledge of your capacity or my confidence in my capacity, but I say this based on my understanding of Jesus's promise. You see, he declared in John chapter 7, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Bottom line, friends, if we are in Christ and united to Christ, well, the well never runs dry. It's filled and it is filling. In fact, it's overflowing. Despite what our feelings or fears may tell us, there is always more down there than meets the eye. In fact, it may be that when we feel most empty, that God himself proves to be the source of all good and blessing in us and through us to others in our lives. I mean, didn't the Apostle Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For it's when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, I want you to notice Paul didn't write, "After I recover from my weakness, then I'll be strong again." No, it's not there in the English or the original Greek. Instead, he wrote and declared that it was when he was weak, then he was strong. You see, Paul's experience recorded in the Bible for us to read and trust and obey is that the power of Christ is made perfect in its display and effect in the moment or season of our weakness. It seems strange, how counterintuitive, even otherworldly. Well, that's a transforming supernatural power of the gospel. I mean, did you expect anything less from real, true gospel life? You see, it's when we are weak that he proves himself strong. It's as we water that we will be watered. It's when and as we lose our life for Christ and others that we find our lives. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Earlier in 2 Corinthians 1, he wrote, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Listen, friends, I had to learn this the hard way. During seasons when I was struggling with loneliness, I often put my hope in someone else reaching out to me. But here's the problem. I couldn't control what anyone else did. And besides, what another person did or didn't do, it never quite seemed to be enough. And so I decided when I felt lonely, it was a God-given opportunity to reach out and see what I could do to bring cheer and comfort into another person's life. That's right. When I felt a decided lack of joy and encouragement in my life, it was a clear signal from the Lord, "Hey, Mark, you go and bring joy and encouragement to someone else." And let me tell you, as I did, an amazing thing happened. I would feel less lonely, less discouraged, less glum, and I would become more encouraged, more hopeful, more full. Yep, I found my life by losing it. Listen, this is the promise of God and the reality of gospel life. Now, let me be clear. This doesn't mean you can never take time off. Not at all. It doesn't mean you can't long for the day when you become the object of encouragement or care. And it doesn't mean you can't retreat for a bit to have your batteries recharged and your spirit renewed. So, what does it mean then? It means that as you and I consider what we can do as we keep the main thing of the gospel, the main thing in our lives in season and out, that the overall movement of our lives is always an outward one. It means that we look to serve and not be served. It means that we consider the needs of others above our own. And as we do, we trust that even when the skies seem darkest and the weight seems heaviest and our spirits seem lowest, the promises of God are good and right and true and can carry us beyond where we thought we could ever go. Now, let me end with this quote I recently came across. Many things in life have a weight limit. Trampolines, bridges, bicycles, skateboards exceed that capacity and they will bend and snap and collapse. But God's promises are not like that. There's no weight limit. They'll never break. They won't even bend. They can sustain all the weight you can put on them. Not just yours, but the weight of your entire community and even the weight of the world. So listen, friends, let's go out there as gospel life warriors. Let's trust that as we water and bless others, that God will nourish us and equip us with all that we need.